Welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after an ugly 9-2 loss at home in front of the Ranger faithful. Not a great look. I got a few things I need to rant about, get off my chest tonight. Y'all are just going to have to deal a little bit here because we got some things to vent out. 9-2 loss. Rangers kind of had somewhat of a chance early in this one. I mean, it was 1-1 at one point. Then the three-run bomb given up by John Gray, and the rest was history. Didn't that intro, though, just make you feel a little bit better? Every time I watch that 60-second intro, I just feel a little bit better about being a Rangers fan, especially after I watch games like today. But before we get started, appreciate all y'all tuning in tonight here at Right on Rangers. We cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. We appreciate you choosing Right on Rangers for all of your Texas Rangers content. For any of y'all football fans out there, we will be live after the Longhorns game tomorrow. NFL doesn't start up for, another 9 days or so? Actually, this coming Thursday night, right? 6 days from now, NFL will kick off. We'll be covering Cowboys games post-game as well. So if you like the Cowboys, you like the Longhorns, or you just want to come hang out with me for a little while, we'll be going live after all those games in the fall. Love all the college football starting up. It has cheered me up a little bit. I don't know how many of us are college football fans in here, but it's been fun. At least something to be able to flip back and forth through when you're watching some of these brutal Rangers games. But let's get into it. My first big lead here. Let's talk about Corey Seager, the man that I've got in my opening montage of clips there, my favorite Rangers player. And I don't want to unnecessarily blame him, but I am absolutely tired of the Corey Seager benchings on the opening night of a homestand. I'm so tired of it. There have been multiple games this season where they decide to sit Corey Seager on a Friday night, the opening game of a series. I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's the coaching staff. Don't know if something was bugging him in Chicago. But you literally just had an off day on Monday. You had an off day last Thursday. So 8 days ago, you had an off day. And you just played the worst team in baseball. We couldn't have sat Corey Seager yesterday on the getaway day against the worst team in baseball in front of zero fans. We had to sit him tonight in front of the home crowd who has stuck with the Rangers through what's been an incredibly crappy season by and large. Y'all know we can point out many positives, 100%. We do that all the time on the show. But to sit your best player on a Friday night when you know the most fans are probably going to be in attendance, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's when you're going to get the most fans. Do we have to continue benching our best player? I feel like it's a slap in the face. And maybe I'm being too dramatic. Maybe Corey Seager tweaked something yesterday. Didn't look like anything went wrong during the game. My point, they need to stop doing this to the home fans. It's been a brutal enough season. Can we let the star players play in front of the fans? Why are we letting the star players play in front of no fans in Chicago and then benching the best players when they get back home for a homestand? It doesn't make any sense to me. I think that tonight's lineup was probably one of the ugliest lineups I've seen get posted by Bruce Bochy in a while. Don't know how much choice he had in the matter. Again, we don't know if Seager went to him and said, I need a day. We don't know if they've got Seags on some kind of maintenance plan and it's just methodical. Whatever game happens to fall, you're sitting. You need to have those maintenance days. Who knows? All I could be doing is guess. And as I always like to say, this would be a question I'd be asking Bruce Bochy. Boch, you've got 2 days off in the past 8 days. You just played 3 games against the worst team in baseball. Why did we need to sit Corey Seager on a Friday night in front of the home fans? I wish those questions would get asked. The only questions that do get asked really are, why is he sitting? And then, of course, Bochy is going to say, well, we're just trying to take care of him. He just needs a day out there. We want to take care of the bodies, you know. Blah, 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 blah. That is exactly what Bochy is going to say in a moment like that. You know it. He's not going to say anything special, and the question's going to be super easy, not loaded at all. I don't know. If I'm a reporter, I know that the coaches will give it back to you, but I'm asking some loaded questions. Again, You've had 2 days off in the past 8 days, Monday and then 8 days ago on Thursday. You just played the worst team in baseball. You had an obvious getaway day yesterday where you had a day game. Why the sit of Corey Seager? Why the sit? We are going to get into everything here. I'm going to check comments. I know I haven't addressed any yet, but the fact that Corey Seager sits tonight, it just makes me upset. I'll probably talk about it about two more times throughout the show, but nothing enrages me more than sitting best players on the opening night of a homestand, especially on a weekend. I just hate it. It's one of my pet peeves. I know maybe it doesn't bother some of y'all, but when you're paying hard-earned money on a Friday night to go watch your favorite team play, they need to have the best teams out there. I get maintenance days. I don't get it in the context of two off days in the last 8 days, and you just got done playing the worst team in baseball who has literally less than 2,000 fans come to their games. All right, that's my Seager rant. Let me get to some comments. Natalie, what's up? Rangers should not have changed the hitting approach and philosophy. Yeah, I know that they lost the analyst. Natalie, you've talked about that. I was actually watching the game for about a couple innings with my brother-in-law, who's not a Rangers fan. And one of the first things that he said, doesn't watch much Rangers baseball, and just was watching multiple innings with me. Baseball guy, I won't get into too much of the background and all that. Won't bore you with the details. But a baseball guy, trust his baseball opinion. And one of the first things he says is, this team just does not know how to move guys over. This team just does not know how to hit situationally. And it was music to my ears. We haven't talked a lot of Rangers, he and I. We finally did tonight, and that's one of the biggest issues this Rangers team has had. They cannot hit situationally. You had multiple times tonight where you just needed to move guys over. Just needed to move guys over. And instead, you get guys swinging at a pitch way inside, getting jammed. Josh Jung had one of those. Swings at a pitch way in on his hands, pops up in foul territory to the first baseman. It is truly horrific offense. It really is. It's very, very ugly to watch because literally if you don't get a home run or if you can't hit a ball to the fence in the gap, this team is just not going to score a lot of runs. They are just too reliant on the big hit. We've said it all season. They don't know how to hit situationally consistently enough. Are we saying that they never do it? Of course not. They can do it. They just don't on a consistent basis. And to be completely honest, they don't have the players that can do it well. A lot of the guys that they have, they've either made the conscious decision as an organization. You know, Josh Jung is a swing away guy. He's a swing away guy. We want Josh Jung swinging away every time. It doesn't matter what's going on in the base pass. Josh Jung swinging away. That's option number one. Option number two is they actually are coaching these guys to hit situationally, and they are just so bad at it. It's one of those two. Either they're trying to just pound it through these guys' heads and the Rangers hitters are just so bad at doing it, or the Rangers as a team, as an organization, are making the decision that it doesn't matter if there's runners on first and second with one out. We want you to try and drive the baseball out of the park, into the gaps, whatever you want to call it. I couldn't disagree more if it's the second one. None of these hitters are that good. Unless your name's Corey Seager, maybe Marcus Semien, but even Marcus Semien, I think, should be hitting situationally at this point in his career. There's one guy in this Rangers lineup that is too good to hit situationally, and that's Corey Seager. Anytime Corey Seager is up to bat, you want Corey Seager trying to hit a home run. If there's first and second one out, I want Seager trying to hit a home run. I do not want him trying to get any kind of productive out or worry about situational hitting. The dude is just too good, otherworldly good at times. Corey Seager's the only one in this lineup, though, that applies to. Can we all agree on that? He's the only guy that needs to be green lit every single at bat to try and hit a home run or just to try and hit a ball in the gap somewhere. I think you understand what I mean. I don't think Corey goes up there with the home run mindset every time, but he's the only guy that I would be trying not to have hit situationally, ground ball, left side, right side, whatever the case may be. Everybody else is not good enough to give that treatment to. Josh Jung isn't good enough to be given that treatment. Adolis is not. You have other guys, Josh Smith, Wyatt Langford. All these guys in the lineup are not good enough to not be situationally hitting. you have got to be able to advance runners in this game. As John puts here, the A's bunt, they have productive outs. The A's actually have one of the best records in the major league since July. I believe they're 22-15, now 23-15 since July. One of the best records in the bigs. The A's, look, I know that they have a label that they're one of the worst teams in baseball, and the record isn't great. No doubt the record is not amazing, but the A's are kind of a scrappy team, and they always have been. And they do the little things. Nobody in that lineup, even Brent Rooker, who went deep twice tonight against us, I don't think that dude is too good to try and do a ground ball right side with runners on second and third with one out. I don't think that dude is too good. I think he'll go ahead and get the job done. And I wish more Rangers plans would do it. More Rangers players, excuse me. And just the pitch selection. You just saw a lot tonight. Josh Jung, I mentioned, swinging at a pitch in on the hands. Dude, what are you going to do with that pitch? I know guys get fooled. The slider in on your hands, it's hard. This is a hard, hard game, but these are the best hitters in the game. And just some of the pitch selection tonight, picking out a pitch to hit, and some of the pitches that get left, like Adolis Garcia today, he left one go right down the middle, and then he's swinging at pitches low and away later on in the at-bat. There was a lot of that, and there's been a lot of that this season. Let me go ahead and take the meatball right down the middle, and let me go ahead and swing at the junk that's outside that I'm not going to be able to touch with a 10-foot pole. It's just something that you can't make up at times either. It's ridiculous. Even, and I know I'm harping on Josh Jung tonight because that was probably one of the players and is one of the players I've been most frustrated with. And maybe we need to give him some more grace. He hasn't had a full season. But Josh Jung, did any of y'all catch where they greenlit him on 3-0 and he got a fastball kind of what I would call middle out, just barely, like still kind of right down the middle? Josh Jung, 3-0 count, slightly out, but barely, and you just swing right through the fastball. I mean, that is the epitome of how this team is doing right now offensively. Josh Jung can't hit a fastball right down the middle on a 3-0 count. It's bad. And the approaches are not great, and the situational hitting is not great either. It's a big reason why this team consistently scores 1, 2, 3 runs. And anytime they score more than that, we are all like over the freaking moon. Have you noticed that? Anytime the Rangers score more than like 3 or 4 runs, we all feel like we just won the freaking lottery. I mean, I know that's how I feel. I'm like loving every minute of it. Last year, it was just kind of commonplace. If the Rangers went double digits, you were like, ho-hum. Yeah, they do this every night. This year, if they do double digits, you're like, what is happening? Where has this been? This is the best thing ever. It hasn't happened a whole lot this year. The Rangers going double digits, but last year it was commonplace. So at this point, I know that we need to start getting into some individuals, and I haven't even talked about the pitching yet. I told y'all, this is going to be one of those, I'm not completely scorched earth right on Rangers Lives, but pretty dang close. So we talked about Corey Seager sitting in front of the home fans on a Friday night. Ridiculous. We've now talked about the offense, the lack of situational hitting, the lack of being able to get a productive out and move base runners over. Let's talk about the starting pitching. And John, you're on a roll tonight as well, my friend. So thank you for tuning in, and I appreciate all the comments. John's comment says, abysmal offense, check. We already covered that one. Horrific starting pitching. We tie the game, and what should be a shutdown inning turns into the 3-run bomb inning. It was over after that in the second inning, and it only got worse from there. Meaningless hitting with no one on base. John Gray has been particularly terrible over the last, I would say, 2 months. Has it been about 2 months? Can we say that? 2 months of John Gray just not being very good. And I feel bad because John Gray has dealt with some injuries this year that, in my opinion, have no doubt derailed him in what was, to start out, a pretty good season for the right-handed pitcher who dominated in October for the Rangers. I'll always love him for that. I do think John Gray needs to go to the bullpen on a permanent basis next year in 2025 for the Rangers. I do not want to see John Gray starting any more games unless it is a spot start. Maybe this year they just have to get over the finish line and you need John Gray to stay in the rotation. If that's the case, so be it, right? But next year, I would love to see a full transition of John Gray to the bullpen. I do think he could have success. I'm not trotting John Gray back out there. John Gray is 5-6 with a 4.47 ERA. He's supposed to be our number three pitcher. These stats are what Andrew Heaney should be doing. Andrew Heaney, we all thought, was going to be fourth or fifth starter. These are the kind of numbers that are acceptable if you are a dead last, bottom of the pitching rotation kind of pitcher. John Gray has a 6.45 ERA over his last seven games. John Gray has a 6.16 ERA over his last 15 games. And 11 of those were starts of those 15. So 11 of the last 15 games, John Gray has been a starter, and the ERA is 6.16. You look at the strikeout numbers. John Gray, 57 innings pitched over his last 15, 37 Ks, 16 walks. It's just not good right now for John Gray all the way around. Any number you want to look at, I don't think that they have enough arms right now, unless you just totally want to scrap the season, which I think that they pretty much are, if we're being real. I think the Rangers are kind of in that mode. I mean, otherwise, why would you sit Corey Seager tonight? If you really still think that you have an opportunity, you're not sitting Seeks tonight. You're just not. But we've talked about this. The Rangers pretty much done here in 2024. I don't know. If you want to blow up the pitching rotation, bring up some minor league guys, I don't think anybody's going to fault you. I personally would love to see John Gray just go to the pen for now, give somebody else a start. Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker could probably do what John Gray did tonight. Agreed? Kumar Rocker probably does what Gray did tonight. Maybe better. I don't know. I know maybe that's an emotional hot take, but I just feel like John Gray is not where he needs to be at this moment. And it almost feels like a loss every time he goes out there. I have not felt that way a ton this year, even in the most terrible stretches of the Rangers season. I look at most of our matchups and most of our pitching matchups specifically, and I say to myself, we got a chance today. We got a chance. But when John Gray takes the hill, probably the last three times, not including the White Sox start at home in late July, probably the past three, four times he's taken the bump, I just have a bad feeling the Rangers are not going to win that day. So don't know. I mean, I've been wrong plenty of times, y'all. Trust me. But the past three, four starts for John Gray, minus the White Sox start at home about a month ago, I just do not feel very confident in the team's ability to win when he's on the bump. And I don't dislike John Gray in the slightest. Actually, I love John Gray. But it's been bad. It's been ugly lately, and I'd like to see that full transition to the bullpen. I'll keep going here. I'm going to try and see if I missed anybody. Lyric, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Thoughts on Seager? I think I kind of already shared. If you got more of a specific thing you want to throw out there, more specific question on Seager, shoot, I'll be happy to answer it. But to summarize, hated that he sat tonight in front of the home fans after playing three games against the worst team in baseball. Would have been easy for him to sit out one of those if this is just a maintenance day. Corey Seager is freaking incredible, though. 200 home runs. Dude is in rarefied air with shortstops in Major League history. Love Corey Seager, favorite Ranger. Hate the maintenance days and how they decide to employ them, which is always seemingly on a Friday night in front of the home fans. I don't get it, but it is what it is. I'll keep going here. We have a crap ton of damage done tonight with two outs. It was bad. We just couldn't get the third out tonight. Giving extra outs never ends well. Yeah, so John Gray the top of the third inning, Nate Lowe had just hit the oppo bomb to tie the game. Y'all don't even want to get me started on the shutdown inning. Rangers have done pretty well of late with it, but let's be real. They're playing the White Sox. They were playing the White Sox. With Gray, you're walking, guys, with two outs. That is what the comment alluded to from John. You're walking, guys, with two outs. You are also then not even being competitive with the guys that you have in front of you. The Rooker at bat was a five-pitch walk, and the one pitch that was a strike was a hanging slider right down the middle. Then in the Blade at bat, this is all top of the third inning, right after Nate Lowe tied the game on a home run. First pitch is not even close. Second pitch is a hanging slider over the middle of the plate, and Blade punishes it. So John Gray, he most certainly has been making people some money. If you're betting against John Gray, you're making a lot of money lately. That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Let me see, Aaron. What's up, man? You did miss the right game. 1,000% you missed the right game tonight. Look, I watched probably faithfully until the top of the fifth, top of the sixth, and then went out, grabbed a bite to eat, did some things with the fam, but kept up with it on the radio, on my phone, that kind of thing. And I'm glad that I did not stick around to watch that ninth inning. Anybody who doesn't have to do this for any kind of job or side hustle should not be watching the Rangers get spanked by the A's in the ninth inning in a 9-2 game. Turn that off. Go watch something else. Turn you on some college football. That's what I'm going to start doing. At least going split screen with some college football when some of these games get rough. In the summertime, in the dog days, we don't have that option, do we? Now back to John Gray. What do we think about his long-term outlook with the club? Now, he does have 1 year left, I believe, on his contract. So John Gray, I'm very curious to see what they want to do with him next year. I've already put out my 2 cents. Bullpen, please. I think he can be effective in short stints. That slider, I think as bad as it was at times today, just hanging out over the plate to Rooker, Blade, I think the slider can be effective in small doses. I think that his fastball is live enough that he could be good for an inning or two out of the pen. I just don't think we've seen it over the past 2 seasons, 3 seasons. The durability is not there for John Gray, and the performance is not there for John Gray consistently. I would love to see a John Gray ramp it up, throw not as hard as you can, obviously, but ramp up that fastball a couple more ticks because you know you only have one inning in front of you or 2 innings max. So you're probably going to see a couple more miles an hour on that fastball. John Gray coming out of the pen. That slider is going to have a little bit more bite because he's turning it over just a little bit harder, knowing he's only throwing one inning. I do think he can be effective out of the pen. I would love to see John Gray slide into that spot starter role. As you look at the rotation for next year, assume they bring Evo back. I know that there's some drama around that right now. And I think a lot of it is just you need clicks. You need people checking out your content. So, of course, we're going to write about Nate Eovaldi potentially going to the Astros and all that kind of BS. So I think let's assume Evo sticks around. You've got DeGrom. You've got Evo. You've got Malley. You've got Bradford. That fifth spot is a little bit questionable at this point. I think there's a number of different guys that could potentially fill it. For a while, I thought John Gray would be a shoo-in. And those five guys would be your Texas Rangers opening day 2025 starting pitching rotation. Again, DeGrom, Malley, Bradford. And then after that, Evo. Obviously, Evo is going to be second in that mix. DeGrom, Evo, Malley, Bradford. Malley, Bradford, maybe you could rotate. The fifth spot is going to be the big one, and I'm sure the Rangers will carry a sixth starter as well. Maybe they go get another one-year bet type. That's probably what I would do. But I just don't think John Gray needs to be doing anything beyond 1 or 2 innings and an occasional spot start if there's an injury or you just really need somebody to go out there and eat up some innings for you. Maybe kind of in an opener role where John Gray goes 3 or 4, something like that. I think that is what I'd like to see. I hope that the club is on the same page. That's all we can do. We're throwing these ideas out there. Maybe they'll stick. Maybe see why I'll tune into Ride on Rangers at some point and hear all these ideas we got. But I would love to see a transition to the bullpen. Maybe Leiter takes that fifth spot. Maybe Kumar Rocker. And guys, look, if Rocker keeps throwing the way that he is right now in AAA, I don't know how he is not going to be given an opportunity to make the rotation and be maybe that fifth guy. I think a lot of people probably are feeling better about Rocker right now than they are Leiter. Leiter couldn't even dominate the lowly White Sox. I would say right now I'm feeling a lot better about Kumar Rocker than I am Jack Leiter. I do think there's a chance Rocker could make that fifth spot in the rotation. Maybe you go out and you sign another one-year deal for a starting pitcher, kind of like they did with Lorenzen. Speaking of, Lorenzen might be a guy you try and go get in the offseason. Don't know how he enjoyed his time in Texas. I don't think it was negative. But you might see the Rangers go out and get a guy like Lorenzen again. Who knows? I mean, look, I don't know how likely that is. I have no inside sources. But that's the kind of guy the Rangers would be wise to go and get. A Lorenzen type, kind of a sixth man in the rotation. that is able to give some of your starters a rest, a guy that can provide you depth if there are injuries. But John Gray, got to see that guy move to the bullpen. Got to see it. Appreciate the sub. I really do. Really do. Let's see. Team is the A's, Raiders, and Warriors. Got you. Hey, and did I see that you live in Texas as well? Yes, sir. Hey, thank you so much for the sub. I appreciate it. We cover all things pretty much Texas sports. We'll be happy to have you join us anytime. Look, I'm pretty much willing to talk anything at the end of the day. I might not get to it right away, but I love talking all things sports. We obviously focus on the Rangers and a lot of the Texas teams, but I'm down to talk about just about anything before the show's over. So definitely keep tuning in. Football season starting up here. You got a college team, by the way? Drop it in the comments. Tell me who your college team is if you follow college football. But thank you again for the sub. Appreciate you tuning in, too. Let's go this last kind of point here. And John literally was just about to get into this, too. Dane Dunning, has there been a bigger disappointment? I really don't know if there has been. I think Adolis is probably a little bit higher up just because of what he did in October and how high the expectations were. Now, if you're talking just from a pitching perspective, it's got to be Dunning and John Gray pretty much back to back. But I think team-wise, I'd probably give it to Adolis just because we all expected him to at least be on the hit 250, hit 30 to 40 homers, driving 100 RBI, and he has just been so far from that. It's pretty wild. So I think Dolie has got to be number one, but Dunning has got to be in the top five, maybe even in the top three. I don't know what's happened to him. And I was on the train of let's move him to the bullpen. He's another guy like John Gray that might be more effective in shorter stints. Nothing could be further from the truth. If anything, I feel like he gets rocked more out of the pen than he did as a starter. It's pretty wild. Pretty wild. I definitely am really kind of at a loss for words at the drop-off for Dane this year. And I would be interested to hear from Mike Maddox when they interview him. What do you think's going on with Dane right now? Dane's not even a guy that I would trust in the pen next year. I mean, let alone being a starter. I thought maybe Dane would be another guy that could fill that fifth starting pitcher position for us, or at least be a sixth starter. I don't even trust Dane in the bullpen. I don't know what they're going to do with him. I think he's still around for a little while. I think he's still around for a bit, but I really don't know. Don't know what the plans are going to be for a guy like Dane Dunning, who has had a very, very bad season. And Dane Dunning right now, the ERA is at 5.38. Grant Anderson actually had a shutout inning today. I couldn't believe it. Or as some people like to refer to him, Cant Anderson. He definitely could tonight, one inning, two Ks against the A's. But Dane Dunning, three innings. And look, they left Dane out to dry a little bit. They did not want to burn through anybody else tonight. They left Dane out there to dry a little bit. Three innings from Dane, five earned runs, no walks, but six hits in three innings, two homers. I feel bad for Dane. I'm glad he got his ring last year. It is crazy how quickly things can change for a baseball player. Dane was kind of one of those on the upward trajectory. The ground ball pitcher had some nasty stuff on the rise, won a World Series. I think that the expectations were that Dane was going to be a very solid number three, number four option for us this year. And he started out that way. If y'all remember, Dane actually had a really good start to the 2024 season and just fell off a cliff after that. Whew. Let me keep going here. Natalie says, I think Rocker is ace potential, where I think Leiter is more middle of the rotation. That seems to be my feel right now. We know how fluky these things are at this point. With the minor league guys, you just don't know. You just don't know if these guys are going to come up to the big leagues and light it on fire immediately, or if they are just going to shrink, kind of like Jack Leiter has done in his three starts in a Rangers uniform. It hasn't been good, but this is my general feel at this point. Oh, we are going to be talking a lot of Mavs later on. So when October rolls around, NBA rolls around, we will definitely talk Mavs on the show. Klay Thompson, great addition for the Mavs. They've been missing that killer three-point shooter, a guy who can play a little bit of defense. We know Klay is not what he once was, but I think he is still one of the better players in the NBA. a great teammate. I'm excited to see him in a Mavs uniform. So this is going to work perfect. I'm calling BS, Aaron says, on all those that told me the Garabito send-down was temporary. Look, this is something I've said to myself. I'm going to give you the full credit for this one, Aaron, but Garabito has like a 2.65 ERA this year. My only thought is maybe they've already made the decision that he is a guy that they're either not going to have in the long-term plans, or maybe they feel like he's a guy that's already proven enough, shown enough, and at this point they're just trying to make some final decisions. I'd really not like to think that it's the third option, which is just incompetence, them thinking that Grant Anderson is better than Garabito. I really don't want to think that it's incompetence. I would probably say it's either they don't think Garabito is going to be in the long-term plans for whatever reason. I'm just telling you what I think is their mindset on Garabito right now. Or they have a good feel for Garabito, and at this point, they're trying to have some guys that are on the borderline, like Grant Anderson. I think they just need to probably DFA or release Grant. I don't know. I mean, I've seen enough. Last year, he had moments. This year's been terrible. I think DFA probably needs to be going Grant's way. Maybe somebody else picks him up, the little bit of the funky delivery motion. Maybe somebody sees something, but it hasn't worked out. And I don't know if you can really put Grant in the bullpen over some of the other options that you have, whether it's signing somebody or calling somebody else out. But I would love to see Garabito. Going back to Aaron's point, why is Garabito not up there? Dude has a 2.65 ERA. Is he swing and miss guy? No, he's not. He's pitch to contact, grind out the outs. But I'll take that right now. I'll take a guy that's not swing and miss, but at least gets outs. I mean, seriously, at this point, you'll take that 100% over a guy that maybe has some swing and miss stuff, but has home runs hit off him left and right. I'll keep going. John B., what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Yeah, Oakland losing the A's. And y'all know, by the way, maybe some of the new people don't know, but I live in Las Vegas, been here for about 15 years. So as somebody that's lived here when there were no professional sports, selfishly, it's nice to have some pro sports in Vegas. I will say I do feel bad for the Oakland and Bay Area fans that have lost football and now have lost baseball as well. Of course, the A's are moving to Sacramento for 3 years and most likely will be moving to Las Vegas. I think that is nearly a done deal. There's still some legal things. Some people believe it still might not happen. I think it's pretty much a done deal and they're going to find a way. But the A's will be in Sacramento for a few years. What's that going to be like, by the way? I mean, I don't know. I think I heard the visiting clubhouse is out in left field at that stadium. Some of the A's fans that are hanging out with us, is that right? The clubhouse, the visiting clubhouse is out in left field? I mean, I can't really believe that they're actually going to try and pull that off. It just seems pretty ridiculous. You've got the best players in baseball playing at a minor league park. Man, I don't know. It just doesn't seem right. It really doesn't. But it is what it is at this point. It's happening. But I would really like to see the A's have made a different choice there. Oakland, I think, is a franchise and a city that does support the team. You've seen that stadium packed in some of those playoff runs the A's made. Go back to that Yankees-A series with the Jeter flip in the early 2000s. That stadium was packed. I mean, they can pack that stadium, but you've got an owner that doesn't like to spend money, hasn't run the team very well. The fans, by and large, every A's fan that I have that's a good friend can't stand the owner, Fisher. It's really unfortunate. I feel bad for the Bay Area fans. Hopefully one day they can either, I don't know if they'll come back. I think Las Vegas is probably going to be a pretty good market where the A's are going to be able to make some money. I doubt that the A's are going to fail in Vegas. Some people have kind of thrown that out there. After the Knights, the Golden Knights NHL team took off when everybody was absolutely crapping on that decision, I just don't even really listen anymore to the critics. Vegas can very clearly support pro teams. So I think the A's are probably going to get pretty well supported here. And it'll be really trendy to go to the A's games at first around here. So I think Oakland is probably going to have to get an expansion team if they want to get baseball back. But that's just my prediction. USC and Michigan. All right, then. That sounds good. I am pumped for college football. It's been fun watching it over the past couple of days. It really has been. Let's get back to Rangers, though. So I don't think we can really point out a whole lot else pitching-wise. Pennington did come in, gave up two hits. So the most impressive pitcher tonight was Grant Anderson. Marcus Semien, 0 for 4. We're going to go through the lineup. Like I said, one of the uglier lineups I've ever seen the Rangers put out this year. Simi, Grossman, Young, 1-2-3. Garcia, Lowe, Langford, Kelly, Duran, Tavares. This has got to be, I think it might be the ugliest lineup I've seen the Rangers put out this year. Let me know if you've got another one or you can remember an uglier lineup than tonight. But I can't. I think this is the ugliest lineup the Rangers have put out all season long. Now, I know that I've been going with TikTok for a while here, and I've been neglecting y'all, so I'm going to try scroll through some comments real quick before I get into the box score review for the offense tonight. Spoiler alert, there's not a ton of positive moments, although some Rangers players did collect some hits tonight. But let's keep going. Rangers let me down, somebody says. Know the feeling. We know the feeling. The diehards do in 2024, that's for sure. I'll keep rolling here. Think I'm getting pretty close. I like the Rangers, but it's Yankees all day, somebody says. Look, Yankees are going to be a pretty tough team to knock out in the playoffs. Aaron Judge, Juan Soto. By the way, I know this is a tangent. Did y'all see Stephen A. Smith on ESPN? I don't watch that show, but I get the clips on social media when I'm scrolling through, checking all my Ride on Rangers stuff. And he basically said Aaron Judge has been so good because he has Juan Soto hitting behind him. Come on now. Just don't talk baseball anymore. Because everybody that watches even baseball casually knows Juan Soto hits in front of Aaron Judge. And that's a big reason why Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and that tandem has worked out so beautifully. You've got Juan Soto protected by Judge. But I think that the Rangers at this point, pretty much out of it. Somebody says the odds aren't looking good for the Rangers. Yeah. Maybe they're at 0.1 right now. As a long reliever, he could be a solid option. I think talking about John Gray, Jamie, I'm assuming, if you're still sticking around here. A's destroy y'all. Yeah, they seem to. They really do. My biggest fear is Adolis might be a Chris Davis situation, somebody says. Jamie, again, don't know if you're still out there, bud, but thanks for tuning in. So Jamie on TikTok says Adolis, Chris Davis. Look, maybe in terms of the fall off, the bad thing with the Orioles was they gave Chris Davis that massive contract that they're still paying him. Did y'all know that? The Orioles are still paying Chris Davis that massive contract that they gave him after he hit like 50-something home runs in that one season. So at least the Rangers haven't committed the big bucks to Dolly yet, and I don't think they're going to. I think that the two-year deal that they gave him last offseason is probably the deal that they are going to give him last. I don't think that they're going to be giving Dolly another big multi-year huge money contract. That's just my prediction on that one. I'm continuing to go through here. Let me see here. Somebody, Mets opinion. Look, I don't know what the Mets record is right now, but I don't think that the Mets are going to, if they make the playoffs, can't see the Mets doing a ton of damage against some of the big teams. Mets right now are 3 games back of the wild card. Braves, kind of after a struggle there, caught a little bit of fire. They've won 7 of their last 10. I think the Mets are going to have a tough time making the playoffs, and if they do, I can't see them doing very well once they get there. Somebody says, Chase, what's up, by the way? A's are so strange, not a very good team, but can randomly put up a billion runs, and especially against the Rangers, it seems like that. The A's, they can be 17 games under 500, and then they come and play the Rangers, or we go and play them, and they put up a ton of runs. Couldn't agree more with that comment, Chase. Appreciate you. And I think we're caught up on TikTok just about. Yeah, Wally says, big Yankees fan, but if we don't win the World Series, Soto's gone. I would love to see Soto in some Rangers red, white, and blue, but Lord knows the purse strings probably aren't getting opened up this offseason by Davis and company. I don't know. I think Juan Soto might actually stick in New York even if they don't win the World Series. It's a lot of attention. If you play for the Yankees, it's just like playing for the Cowboys. There is just so many more possibilities because you have so much more exposure. Dodgers are the same way. So I don't know. I don't know if I agree. I think Soto might actually be a guy
that decides to stick around, wants to play under the bright lights in New York City. We'll see. I'll be curious. The Soto sweepstakes, I'm not going to hold out a lot of hope that it works out, but it would be fun if the Rangers threw their hat, at least in not the Soto sweepstakes, but in some of the big names. There have been a few guys that the Rangers have been linked to. Let's see. One of the offensive things I want Langford to make is the ball in the air to the pull side. He could hit the ball in the air both ways in college. Hasn't been able to at all in the majors yet. Yeah, we've talked about this a little bit. My only thing with Langford is, you know, he's got the raw power. How much do you want a guy who's that fast just always hitting the ball in the air? I don't know. If I was in that boardroom, whatever you want to call it, Rangers, hitting coaches, analysts, I would be saying, do we really want this guy that is probably going to hit for power anyways? Do we really want to emphasize him putting the ball in the air when he's this fast? Now, I'm not saying make him into a guy that just hits balls on the ground all day long, but if I'm Wyatt Langford and I've got that much wheels, I want to be trying to put the ball in play as much as possible and put pressure on the defense while I've still got the speed. So I don't know how big of a fan I am of making Wyatt Langford into a guy that hits the ball in the air all the time. I think that if he gets into that mindset, ground ball, line drive, he's so strong and the power is so raw with him that I think he's going to end up turning those line drives into home runs anyways. Not really a guy I want to see making a big switch to a ball in the air approach. It's actually what's been a big problem with this Rangers team all season long. And it's a big problem in the game of baseball. Everybody's trying to hit the ball in the air. There's not a lot of situational hitting anymore. Some teams do it, but it's not a majority. I'd like to see the guys that have that much speed make the defense work, put the ball in play. Wyatt Langford hits way too many pop-ups. He does. You see Wyatt hit a lot of pop-ups. You want to see him. When he puts the ball on the ground, I feel like he's got a shot every time. If the ball's even remotely to somebody's left or right, I feel like he has a shot to beat it out. In fact, I'd be curious to see how many infield hits does Wyatt Langford have this year. I think it would be a fair number for sure. John says, I kind of want to see Wyatt be able to bunt for a hit sometimes. The pop-ups are killing us. I wouldn't mind. Again, nobody in this lineup, I want to repeat this. I said it earlier and I feel so strongly about this. Nobody in this lineup is good enough besides Corey Seager to not be a situational hitter. Corey Seager is the only guy that you say to yourself, he's Corey Seager. He's otherworldly. The dude can hit away every single time, forget situational hitting. But even Seager, being the kind of guy he is, understands situational hitting and probably comes through. Like, runner on third base, you need a run to score. Seegs is probably hitting a ball deep somewhere. He's that good of a hitter. But I don't think anybody else in this lineup needs to get any special treatment. The only thing that I will say about bunting, and I have talked about bunting, there's just not a big emphasis on it anymore. And the point that I made about a month and a half ago with, I think, a similar situation where we're like, why don't we ever bunt? Well, a lot of the hitters that the Rangers have were never asked to bunt in their entire baseball careers. So, like, do you think Josh Jung was ever asked to bunt growing up, high school, Texas Tech? Do you think that dude ever bunted? No, because he was the best hitter on the team. He was the Corey Seager of the Texas Tech Red Raiders. So, no, you're not going to bunt with that kind of guy. Wyatt, same thing. Wyatt was one of the best hitters on that Florida team. Are they ever going to really ask him to bunt? Probably not. So, John, I don't think it's a ridiculous idea by any means. My point is just I don't think that these guys are probably very good at it because growing up and coming through the ranks, they never really got asked to do it on a consistent basis. Now, there are some players, I'm sure, that came up through the league, maybe in a little bit of a different context, that do. But a lot of these major leaguers now, they're the best hitters on all their teams, and they're just not asked to do it a lot. And they're not emphasizing it a lot either. I'm sure there are some teams, coaches, college programs that are making it a point, but I don't think that it's very widespread. I would like to see Wyatt just be able to go ground ball right side, second and third, one out, put the ball in one of the gaps. I would love to see him hit more line drives. I don't want to see them turn Wyatt Langford into what Adolis is, which is basically hit the ball in the air, hit it out, hit it for a double, or you strike out, or you walk. I want to see Wyatt use those wheels, make the defense work. I don't want to see them turn another guy into a pop fly or fly ball hitter. I get it. Launch angle, exit velocity, all of these stats are just causing all of these hitting coaches, coordinators to fall in love with making everybody into a fly ball hitter. I'd love to see guys like Wyatt Langford hit ground balls, hit line drives, not just lock in on hitting the ball in the air. Let me keep going here. So in the box score, a couple other things. We had Robbie Grossman, 1 for 3. Kind of crazy. Robbie and El Blondi end up playing after being placed on outright waivers. So outright waivers, I don't think that is a trade situation. I think a couple of people were saying that it was. I don't think that we work out a trade with any of those guys. I think at this point, they just join the other team and the other team pays their salary. I don't think we get anything in return. I saw a little bit of that going around social media. Now, after the trade deadline, there's like a couple levels. You do have to work out a trade. But I think right now, at this point in the season, Jenko and Grossman can just get picked up by somebody else. Maybe I'm mistaken on that. I don't know. I don't really feel like, though, that we are going to be getting anything in return if somebody does want to take a flyer on Grossman or on Jankowski. But both of those guys end up playing tonight. Grossman 1 for 3. Jankowski actually had a hit as well. Josh Young 1 for 4. We also have Adolis Garcia 0 for 4 with a strikeout. Adolis has really cooled off after having like a week long, maybe a 10-day run. He is now hitting 148 in his last 7 games. Not good. Just not good from Adolis. Nate Lowe had a nice oppo homer. 2 hits tonight. Hard to get on Nate Lowe's game. Wyatt Langford was 0 for 4 tonight. Did put the ball in play almost every time, though struck out once. Carson Kelly, 2 for 3. And with a walk as well. I'm a big fan of getting Carson Kelly some playing time. Could we see more of a DH-type role for him moving forward? I'd like to see that. I think I'd like to see Jonah Heim continue to be the defensive catcher. Still get some ABs for Jonah, but I'd like to see Carson Kelly start getting some DH opportunities. I think that would be great. I know that they can't pull it off all the time. I do think maybe you're going to see Josh Smith in the outfield a little bit more. Leody was 0 for 4 tonight, and over Leody's last 7 games, see if I can pull it up for y'all, 143, Leody's hitting 188 in his last 15. I already kind of said this, but I really don't know why they would continue to give Leody at bats in September. I think once you call up Dustin Harris, I think Dustin Harris needs to get Leody's playing time. I don't think Leody needs to be getting any more consistent at-bats in a Rangers uniform. You've seen all you need to from Leody. So if you want to bring him back next year, you know what you're going to be getting. A guy that can hit 300 for a week and then is going to hit about a $150 or $200 for the next 3 weeks. It is what it is. That is what Leody has been like the past 3 seasons. So for me, I've seen enough of Leody. That doesn't mean you've got to cut him, but it does mean, can we give Dustin Harris a shot and see if maybe we have something better? So a guy like Leody, I don't think needs to be playing a ton in September. You know what Leody is. Figure out what Dustin Harris is down in AAA, a guy that's on the 40-man right now and having a decent year down there. Ezekiel Durant, 0 for 3, did work a walk. Durant hasn't gotten a ton of opportunities. I think he did have a throwing error tonight. Don't love that. Playing shortstop for Corey Seager. So Durant is another guy. I did not get the decision to hold on to him. I really thought at the trade deadline, you could have got some decent value for Durant. He had just gone 5 homers in his last 6 games down to AAA. Really a baffling move. And I think their hope was that maybe he would come back up to the bigs and really turn it on. But I think a lot of us diehards that have really watched Durant knew better. Durant is basically, in my opinion, Leody 2.0. He's going to hit 300 for a week, and he's going to be a 200 hitter for the next 3 weeks. I mean, it's not going to be consistent. He's going to be hitting right around that 225, 240 at best mark. I would have liked to have seen them deal Duran. I don't know where he's going to play moving forward anyways. You've got Walcott on his way up. You already have Josh Smith, clearly better than Duran. Maybe you like Duran's intangibles a little better, like the throwing arm is better than Josh Smith. Maybe there's a little bit more power in the bat than what Josh Smith has. But that being said, Josh Smith has proven it on the field. Who cares what the potential is? Results. And Josh Smith has given you results. I don't really know what Zeke's role in this team is. Even as super utility guy, I think that they could upgrade. So I was really surprised when they didn't deal him. But we'll see what happens in the offseason, I suppose. I'll keep going here. Natalie says, I know you probably don't agree, but with Wyatt's speed, I'd like to see him hit at the top of the order. I think that is the goal. I actually do agree that eventually he should be hitting at the top of the order. I don't know if right now you want to do that. Could you tweak and play around with it in September with the Rangers all but out of a playoff spot? I think so. I would be more than happy to see them play around with the lineup a little bit. I think that is very likely that you'll see some shifting around going on once the rosters expand. But with that being said, the goal was to have Wyatt up at the top of the order. The production just wasn't there. So I would love to see Wyatt be a two-hole hitter. I would love to see him maybe even lead off. I think that would be ideal with his speed, having him in the one or the two spot. I think that would be great if he can consistently get on base. You've got Corey Seager hitting behind him. And imagine what that would do. And imagine if you had Simi number one, you had Wyatt number two. Wyatt is going to get pitches to hit with Corey Seager protecting him. The problem is then who protects Corey Seager? It's been Adolis. It's been a few different guys in the mix. Josh Smith, Nate Lowe. They have to get somebody that can protect Corey Seager. They might decide that that's Wyatt Langford. They tried it, and I felt like it actually went well at first, but then Wyatt just was not getting hits, and teams finally figured out, okay, yeah, this rookie has a lot of hype. Yeah, he's got a lot of raw power, but he's not getting hits, so let's just pitch to him. And that's when you started seeing him really fall off a cliff. I do think that the Rangers are going to eventually try to get him back to the top of that order again, but we'll see. Wyatt's got to consistently get on base before they really want to commit to that, in my opinion. I need to go ahead, though, and get us wrapped up with the box score, and then let's preview tomorrow, and then I'm going to sign off. We've already been going for about an hour here, and I know it's getting late. We had, by the way, 8 guys left on base tonight, 1 for 7 with runners in scoring position. Doley and Leody each had an opportunity with runners in scoring position with 2 outs. Didn't make it happen. So 1 for 7 with runners in scoring position. And believe that who was it that ended up getting the RBI with the runner in scoring or the base hit with the runner in scoring position? I don't know when that was. Must have been a had to stop at third base kind of thing because only Nate Lowe has an RBI in the books. Ah, yes, because that's right. Jankowski scored on an error. That's why. That makes a lot more sense. All right, y'all. Let's close the book on tonight. Ugly offensive game for the Rangers. Let's check out some scores around the league, and then I'll preview tomorrow's matchup. So we have a few games that have yet to go final, but KC loses to Houston tonight. Rangers are now 10 games back. I do think that tonight was kind of the nail in the coffin. I know the Rangers technically aren't out of it, but you only have, at this point, 27 games left and you're 10 games out. I just don't see it happening. I know there's a couple people that are trying to hold out hope. I'm not really one of them at this point. I'd love to see it, but don't think it's going to happen. And then we had the Mariners beating the Angels 9-5 in LA. Mariners are going to be playing the Rangers a lot in the month of September. 7 games with the Mariners coming up, by the way, for the Rangers next month, which is right around the corner. Now, for tomorrow's games, let's go ahead and check things out. Cody Bradford on the bump. Really think it's a good opportunity for the Rangers to get back on track, win a game, and then potentially have an opportunity to win the series on Sunday. So, again, you've got Cody Bradford going. And for the A's, looks like they will be throwing their righty Estes, who is 6-6 with a 4.37 ERA. Let's check out the lineups against each pitcher. Texas has no at-bats against Estes. Estes, by the way, over the season, over his last, let's just do 7 games. Really, really good, actually. 6 games started, 2-2 with a 2.84 ERA. So Estes is not really a guy that you want to see, considering how much the Rangers have struggled of late. So his last three starts has not given up more than 3 earned runs. So 5 2/3 with 2 earned runs against Milwaukee, 7 2/3, 1 earned run against the Rays, and then 5 1/3, 3 earned runs against the Mets. Estes for the A's has been pitching very, very well of late. So I don't know how many runs are going to be scored by Rangers bats tomorrow. You never know. I mean, sometimes the Rangers face a really good pitcher and they manage to score 5 or 6 runs. Then they literally face the worst pitcher in Major League Baseball and get perfect gamed through like 5 innings. So I've stopped guessing, but not really ideal for an offense that's struggling to see a guy like Joey Estes for the A's, who's going to be the probable starter for them tomorrow. 284 ERA in his last 7 games. Oh, joy. Let's go ahead, though. Let's look at Cody Bradford against the A's. Really, nobody on the A's has hit him well. Langoliers, Geloff, Butler, Blade, Allen, all over. The only guy who's gotten a hit off of Bradford on the A's is Nevin, the third baseman. Everybody else is over. So Cody Bradford, small sample size, but actually has pitched pretty well against the A's in the past. We'll see what Cody Bradford has tomorrow. Had a nice start against them in April before he got injured. That was at Globe Life Field as well. Hopefully he can continue that. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think that Cody Bradford's start against the A's in April was his last one before he went on the injured list, and he went like 8 innings. I'm going to have to see if my memory is serving me right there. Let me take a look here. Go game log on Cody and see if I can pull up that April start. So game log back to April. April 10th versus Oakland. That was his last game before he went on the IL. Wasn't 8. He went 6 2/3, 5 hits, 1 run allowed. So, yep, I had that part of it right. Just not all the entire stat line. But I think that he can continue to build off of that. And I think that he's going to come out and give the Rangers a chance tomorrow, unlike John Gray, unlike Dane Dunning did late. So time shall tell on that one. And then in terms of things going on around the league, let's see if we can pull up any other types of headlines notable, worth going through. Probably something Dodgers or Yankees related. I wish I could share my screen with y'all, but just let me tell you, Shohei Ohtani's on the front page again. Are we shocked? They're not even trying at this point. It's either Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, or it's Shohei Ohtani. Every single day. Doesn't even matter how special something else was. You know, Jankowski really should have been on the front page, and they just should have had him just like with that catch, front page. Nope, it was Ohtani's dog. I mean, that's just how it goes right now in baseball. Ohtani, Soto, or Judge. One of the three. Let me see. There's not really a lot going on the headlines today. Altuve hits the walk-off double to beat the Royals. Royals have dropped 2 games now against the Astros. Clase passes Allen to become Cleveland's all-time saves leader. That one hurts. Every time I see Clase, every time I read about Emmanuel Clase, it hurts. So Clase, even being talked about as a Cy Young candidate this year, can you believe that? Clase, Cy Young candidate, dude has like a 0.6 ERA. Of course, Clase, the guy the Rangers traded for 1 inning of Corey Kluber. Very depressing. Every time I see him, I'm amazed by the skill. I'm not a hater. I'm amazed by how good he is. And I'm simultaneously gutted that we traded him for 1 freaking inning of Corey Kluber. That's how it goes sometimes in baseball with those trades. But that's a particularly bad one. Particularly bad one. And I think that was still John Daniels. Maybe CY had come on at that point, but has to be one of the Rangers' all-time worst trades. I can't think of a worse one, to be completely honest with you. There's been some doozies. I can't think of a worse one than 1 inning, literally, of Corey Kluber giving up a guy who is now the Cleveland Guardians' all-time saves leader. You got to be kidding me. All right, y'all. Let me check comments one more time. Let me see if I missed anything. Appreciate all y'all tuning in. As I always say, if you have not hit that follow or subscribe button yet, I'd be grateful if you did hit that notification button. Get notified every time we go live. Stay up to date with all of our latest and greatest content. If you know somebody that loves the Rangers or loves baseball in general, please send them my way. We'll be going live after Longhorns football games, Cowboys football games. We'll make sure in the title we make it clear what it is. So before you select it or before you hop on, you know what you're getting into. But we will be kind of like we do here, discussing a little bit of everything at some point. You guys know me, always kind of trying to check the comments. So if you want to hop on Longhorns Live or Cowboys Live, talk Rangers, we'll do it. But I'll probably still do a separate live for Rangers as well. So we're going to be busy here for a few weekends in September before the baseball season winds down. But join us tomorrow. We'll be live for Rangers. We'll be live after the Longhorns game. Busy day for us here at Ride on Rangers, but we love it. We'll also be live after every Dallas Cowboys game. NFL starts in about 6 days next Thursday night. So we will be having some fun here in the month of September with college football and NFL fully back in swing and the baseball season winding down. And then we make a transition to Mavs for basketball, see what Luka, Kyrie, and Klay have in mind for the 2024-25 season. Appreciate y'all hanging out. It's not easy to do these after losses like this, but we've seen the Rangers bounce back. I've got faith with Bradford on the mound tomorrow. I was completely transparent and real. I didn't feel great about the John Gray start tonight. I do feel good about the Bradford start tomorrow. Still worried about the bats, but we'll just have to see what happens. Estes has been good of late, but maybe the Rangers can crack him, get some runs on the board early, and then allow Bradford to relax, throw some shutdown innings, get another quality start under his belt, and continue dealing as Cody Bradford has for much of the 2024 season. Appreciate all y'all. We will hope that you have a great Friday night, and we'll see you maybe tomorrow on one of the lives or on Sunday. If I don't see you, hope to catch you on the replay or maybe sometime early next week. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend if you're not joining us again till early next week, all right? And as I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.